to be with you today, and it is great to, be back in town. We escaped this weekend for just a little while, and it's great having Kyle and Maddie here, and more than anything, it's great to have little Ben here with us making his debut. We're glad that they brought him up. We're not really sure if we're going to let them take him home with us. But we certainly are glad to have them here, and we've arranged for him to be quiet while Grandpa speaks this morning. We have, we've been really focusing a lot of attention on becoming more and more of a house of prayer. That's really what our goal is, to be a place that is known as a house of prayer to the Lord, a place that that not only we know that, but people all around us, people in the community, recognize us as a place where they can come to bring their prayer requests to be brought before the Lord, and they can find comfort and support in those prayers. And that's what we're focusing on. You know, last week we spent our time talking about a divine invitation that God has given to us to pray. And one of the things that we saw in that when Jesus says, "Come unto me," who? All ye who are weary and heavy laden. That's a divine invitation for us to come to Him and to bring whatever it is that's going on in our lives before Him. So if anyone is in all ye, then you have that divine invitation to come to Him and to pray. You see? Well, you know, along with that invitation that God has given to us, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is it is an invitation, okay? God does not and will not force anyone to come to Him, whether it be in prayer, to come to Him, to give their life to Him, nor will He force His way into anyone's life. And so what that means is that, in especially as we're talking about prayer here, what we're going to talk about this morning is realizing that what we need to do is to give God permission. Okay, now that may sound like a kind of a strange idea to you, but think about it for a minute. Think about this way for a moment. How many kinds of different things do we have to give someone permission to do in our lives? Parents, how many permission slips, for example, have you filled out in order for your child to go to some kind of a field trip at school? You say, whatever is going on, you need to have permission. You go to the doctor, you got to sign a permission form for them to release your information to the insurance company so your insurance company will pay the bill. It's like, oh, right, I'm not going to do that, right? Of course I'm going to sign that because I want them to pay for it. But we have to give permission in all kinds of areas of our lives. But we know and we recognize what that concept is, that we don't want somebody just kind of forcing their way into our life and to take over something and do something without our permission. Well, you know, when it comes to prayer, it's kind of the same way. Jesus Himself in Revelation 3 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." You see, He's not going to break the door down. You see, He's not going to kick it in and force His way into our lives. But what He does is He invites us to open the door and to give Him permission to come into our lives. So let's talk a little bit this morning about granting God permission. And what does that really mean, this idea of granting God permission? Well, I think that we get the best idea from it if we go to the text that was read for us as we began this morning and we look at Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just before He was arrested and tried and crucified, Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prays to His Father. Okay? But notice what it is that He prays about. He says to Him, look at your text here, Matthew 26, He says, "Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Now, Jesus prayed that prayer three times. Father, this is not what I want to go through, but not my will, but yours be done. You see, what I want to suggest to you this morning is what Jesus was doing there and what you and I need to do in our lives is that He was giving the Father permission to work His will in Jesus' life. See? Not my will, but your will be done. Think about what that really means. That we are giving God permission to work His will in our lives. But when we go to God in prayer, and we ask God to help us with this problem or that problem or to fix this or that, and how often do we bring the solution before God and say, here's what I need you to do. Oh yeah, by the way, not my will, but yours be done. We just oftentimes tend to throw that in, don't we? But do we really understand what it is that we're saying? And what we need to be doing, that we are granting God permission to work His will in our life. Okay? What that requires is for us then to get our will out of the way. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus, in giving His disciples an example of how to pray, gives us what we refer to as the model prayer, you say. And how does that go? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does it say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that the same thing? That as we're praying to God, that we're giving Him permission to say, God, in my life, in the same way that Your will is done in heaven, I want You to have it done in my life. Say, recognizing God's power and authority. Because you see, God is not going to force His way in. Oh, He could, by the way. He could, right? Because He's God. But that's not what He wants to do. He wants us to invite Him in and allow Him to work His will in our lives. So we've got to be thinking, it's not just words that we say at the end of a prayer, or we're talking about something and we say, well, God's will be done. But do we really understand and recognize what we're telling God that He can do? God, I want You to work Your will in my life. Whatever is going on, whatever this Red Sea event that I'm facing, God, work Your will in my life. Oh, I have a solution, but I don't know if that's the will that You have for this. I've got my ideas, but God, I want You to work Your will in my life. We need to give God permission to do that. Now, in order for us to really be able to do that, see, this is not just an intellectual thing, okay? All right? Because, you know, all of you are sitting here and you're looking at me going, okay, Russ, yeah, I get it. You get it up here, that's easy. But you got to get it down here. See? And in order for us to really get it down here and really make it mean something in our lives, then what we have to do, first of all, is change some of our thinking. We've got to be what I think the Bible calls upon us to be, a nonconformist. Okay? We need to be a nonconformist. Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Look at what the Apostle Paul tells us there about how do we allow for God's will to be done in our lives. He says, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Change. We've talked about this before. Change your behavior by changing the way you think. So we've got to be changing our thinking on some of these things a little bit here so that we're not conforming to the way the world behaves by rushing through everything and demanding that we have things our way, but rather allowing God to have His will in our life. When we become nonconformists, okay, look at what Paul says will happen. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to have God's will working in my life. I want to yield to God's will in my life, to give Him permission to work in my life the way He wants to work, rather than just the way I want Him to work or I'm willing to let Him work. You see, I want Him to have complete control. And so we need to change the way we think. See? So that we're able to give God complete control of our lives. So He will work His will in our lives. You see, here's the problem. Our will so often gets in the way of God's will, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest. You know, this is what I want. You see? This is the way I want things to happen. This is the way I want things to work out. This is the result that I would like to see. And our will gets in the way of God's. And that's what I'm talking about here. That we've got to get our will out of the way so that God's will can come in and do what He wants to do in our lives. You see? Otherwise, we're the ones who are in charge. And I don't know about you, but one thing that I've noticed about my life, when I'm in charge of it, I don't do very well. You know, I can very easily mess things up when I get myself in charge. Okay? But that's a struggle all the time for me. I wonder if it is for you too. See? That we have to all the time, daily. I mean, this is an ongoing thing that we've got to make a choice, a decision to allow God to have His will in our lives so that He will be in charge and not us. It is a daily struggle. And when we change the way we're thinking about these things, then we're going to be able to know what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. But then there's another part of this, allowing God to work His will in our lives, giving Him permission, and that is that we have some work to do. Okay? And that work needs to be done, Paul says, with fear and trembling. Look over in Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, beginning in verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Look at verse 13. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." You know, that particular verse there, verse 12, is, you know, that's kind of confusing to folks. And it had been to me for a long, long time. You know, he talks about working out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Well, wait a minute, I thought that salvation was supposed to be a free gift. And now he's telling us to work it out. What's that all about? Well, it is a gift. You see, he's not telling us here that we're working in terms of earning our salvation. We can't do that. Well, what does he really mean here then? Well, I think that the best way to describe it is to think about it this way. Let's suppose for just a moment that you were drowning. Okay? Let's suppose you were in a river and you were drowning. Okay? What would you do to save yourself? You see? And your answer ought to be, whatever I could, right? You see? You'd be doing everything you could to save yourself, that is, to keep yourself from drowning. Okay? So there would probably be some work involved in that, wouldn't there? Some exertion of some kind of energy in order to pull yourself out of the water and to keep yourself from drowning. Anything that you would find yourself in danger and you're trying to get yourself out of that danger, in other words, you're trying to keep yourself out of it, you're going to do something. Okay. Your human instincts within you for self-preservation are not going to allow you to just lay back and go, oh, well, maybe something good will happen to me. No. Okay. And in that way, as God calls upon us to come to Him, see, we've got to exert the effort in that same kind of spirit that we would work to save our life under those kinds of circumstances. Not earning it, but doing the things that we need to do to keep from losing what we have. He says, with fear and trembling. I think the idea there is that of a danger of losing something that was precious to us. Okay? Like your life. Okay? Like your life. Do you suppose you would have some fear involved in that? You know, if you felt like your life was getting ready to be pulled away from you. I know what this is like because when I was a young person, okay, I was probably about 10 years old. I was at summer camp, and we were swimming in the lake, and some of the bigger guys, you know, decided they wanted to dunk me in the water, and they kept dunking me in the water and dunking me in the water and dunking me in the water, and they kept doing it, and I really was at the point where I was fearing that I was going to drown. And of course, they thought it was funny, but I thought I was going to drown because they wouldn't stop. That's fear. Okay? That's fear that I've never felt. I don't remember ever feeling that kind of fear, being that close to feeling like I was going to drown. I was going to die. Okay? And when you feel that, you see, and I think what Paul wants us to understand is this, that same kind of an idea that we've got something that is precious to us, and that's our eternal life, our soul. Okay. And how hard would we exert ourselves if we thought that we were going to lose it? Okay. What would we do in that case? And then when you put those concepts with what he says in verse 13, then it all comes together. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to what? To His good purpose. You see, again, that's God's will or His purpose being done in our lives. Okay? Well, we have to allow Him to do that. We've got to allow Him to work His will and purpose in our lives. So when we talk about granting God permission, okay, we've got to recognize not just up here, but here. It's not just words that we say at the end of a prayer, but we look at Jesus in the garden as He prayed in agony, not wanting to go through what He knew He was getting ready to go through. But being able to pray, Father, this is not what I want, but what I want is Your will in my life. And He gave the Father permission to work His will in His own life. So as we pray in our lives today, as we face the Red Sea events that we face in life from time to time, and even as we face the little stuff that we have to deal with from day to day, I want to encourage you to think about it, not just up here, but in your heart, and to be praying in a way that says, God, I give you permission to work your will in my life. I want your will to be done, not mine. I think when we pray that sincerely from the heart, the more we do that, I think the more we're going to be seeing some amazing things that God will really do when we open our lives to His will to be done. Maybe there's some things that are going on in your life that your will has been getting in the way of. Maybe there's a Red Sea event that's taking place in your life that is kind of, you've been trying to take care of yourself. Isn't it time for you to let God have His will in your life? It may be that there's someone here this morning who's not a Christian. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you're almost ready to give your life to Christ, but maybe there's something that's holding you back. Are you ready to allow God to have His will in your life? To get your will out of the way so that He can take control? If that's maybe what's going on with you, or if there's something that you're struggling with in your life that you've been trying to take control of and work out the way you want it to work out, will you give in to God's will this morning? Will you let Him have His way, His will in your life today? If we can help you to do that, whatever the matter or circumstance or situation is, that's what we want to do as families, help you to do that. And so we offer an invitation time. It's an opportunity for anyone to come to say, here's what I need. I need prayers. I need encouragement. I need guidance. I need forgiveness. I need help with this. By the way, also, if there's things that maybe you have been allowing God to work His will in your life and some great things have been happening, we'd like to hear about that too. Okay. Which one of you guys going to be? Ted is going to be back in the back here. If you would like to go and talk with him and have a private prayer with him about whatever's going on in your life, and you can do that. He'll be back there to receive you. I'll be up here in the front and to receive you if you'd like to come up and share whatever your need is. We want to try to take care of it. So let's stand together and sing.